This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Every morning brings a fresh new energy. And no matter what the day holds, we come to the Today Show for all of it.
We get the best start to the day because we start it together.
Watch the Today Show weekdays at 7 a.m. on NBC.
Comparing him to Chuck Knoll. Mike Sullivan coached hockey.
Yeah, Art Rooney is going to do the same thing, or whoever is in charge of like leading that press conference when Tomlin's done. The same things will go out from the team that went out for Sullivan today. Fancy press release, thank you, you know, all kinds of mementos and memories the team will send out from its own publications and outlets and things like that.
Yeah.
But the fans won't agree with it.
Why? That's my question.
I know.
Why do you think he's going
to
be?
Well, I said 2-1. Sullivan's won twice, and Mike's only in, and Tomlin's only
won once.
But
it's still
a
championship. We're talking about how many titles have you won? Implication: you've actually won one, which he will have always done.
Yep.
So he hasn't ever bottomed out, and the Penguins at for a long stretch of this year on the NFL landscape, or NHL landscape, were completely irrelevant other than Sid's pursuit of the Gretzky points per game record, 20 consecutive seasons. Mike has, for better or worse, and I only mean worse in the sense that it usually makes it very tough to find your next quarterback. How many games have they played in his tenure where they did not have a mathematical chance? Two now?
One.
Is it still one?
Still one.
Always forgot. Yeah, there was the one where it was a very slight chance, but it was a chance nonetheless. So in his career, as a Steelers fan, you've watched one game that had no stakes where they could not make the playoffs no matter what.
Yep.
One.
Yep.
Like, there is, I would think, for the drumbeat of sports are a fun distraction that we all get very into and you just like to feel like your team's in it. He's done that better than pretty much anyone I've ever seen.
Like, I will probably, the day it happens with Tomlin, which is still probably 20 years away.
Well, you're going to hire a marching band like Nick Wright would do for his show.
I will sneak in there. Hey, he's a Super Bowl 43 champion. At the time, he was the youngest head coach to win a Super Bowl. But it won't feel like the lead part of it. You know, like, I think people, instead of debating whether or not Mike Sullivan deserved to be fired or let go or however it went down, the number one thing people wanted to do today was praise Sullivan for his years of service.
I mean, I do think Penguins fans are also... presumably people who are Penguins first, every other team second. Like, everyone has their hierarchy of what team they like best based on what sport they like best. I do think Penguins fans have always been very protective of their guys against other Pittsburgh sports fans who don't prioritize hockey.
I don't necessarily agree with that, though.
Oh, it's my observation. You could disagree
with understand
it, but that's what
that,
I see them
okay,
do.
But I'm going to bring up a couple of guys, and you tell me if I'm wrong about this. I don't sense that Penguins fans do that when it comes to Malkin and Letang.
Well, Malkin,
they'll be the first two guys, if they feel like it, to just tear them down and rip them down.
I think that's more of a media creation where people hate Malkin. They have to have somebody who's the foil to Crosby. Well, you can't have two guys that you love.
Well, hold on. I think, like, you might say that media like create debates and discussions where it turns into
Crosby,
you know,
is the guy who
side,
can do no wrong, but, and Malkin is the look at him. He's a malcontent. He doesn't care. Letang is a hothead.
But I'm saying not even like in those extreme instances. Like, I don't think that either one of those guys, even among rational, level-headed fans, is immune from criticism. And to be fair, I think when those guys retire, it'll be the same thing. Like, it won't be like, wow, this is way overdue, they should have traded him. It'll be like, thank you, Evgeny Malkin, for winning three Stanley Cups here. And the same thing with Letang. But I just did find it interesting that most sports fans here, their gut reaction was to sing the praises of Sullivan today, even though he hasn't won anything since 2018. And it's not going to be that way unless something radically changes with Tomlin between now and when he retires.
Mike won another Super Bowl and then retired 3 years after. If 3 years from now the Steelers win it all, or like, when is his deal up? 27? Or 28, whatever. If in the last year of his current deal that they just did for him, they win the Super Bowl, he signs one more contract and then they don't win it again, but they're 3 years removed from a Super Bowl, then it'll be, wow, like what a bookend.
Yes, but that seems like a ridiculous hypothetical because of where the team is at.
I mean, I think that Mike Tomlin is blamed for more of the Steelers' perceived ills, and they have been in balance better than the Penguins in the sense that they haven't won a title as recently, but they have not bottomed out than Mike Sullivan was ever blamed for the Penguins.
I mean, do you think that your first thing to do when Mike Tomlin either retires or is done here will be to say thanks for the memories? Come on.
It won't, but my first reaction will just be relief that we can do another topic other than should the Steelers fire Mike Tomlin? Is Mike Tomlin the boogeyman who ruined everybody's Christmas?
We don't do should the Steelers fire Mike Tomlin because we know that'll never happen. We talk about like where he, you know, ruins the franchise from the inside out.
I'll just be relieved. I'll be relieved that we'll be beyond some, and I don't think it's all lazy, but some of it is just like stretches credulity. I know that the head coach has a lot of sway in any organization, but I feel like there are people who, if they woke up with a backache, would blame Mike Tomlin for it.
I did have a backache this morning.
And you would be one of the first people I would assume would blame him for it. I do find it to be at times very convenient and very lazy that he gets. And I think he has a ton of control, don't get me wrong. But like sometimes, and I couldn't come up with maybe like a specific example, it's, oh, Mike made this happen or Mike did this. It's my favorite version of it is during the draft. If they pick a guy everyone likes, then Omar Khan or before him, Kevin Colbert made that pick. Great job. If they pick a guy everyone kind of hates right away and says, what were they doing? Can you believe they let Tomlin take control and make this? And I just find that very intellectually lazy and very much like speaking of another just very personal anti-Tomlin agenda. Like if you say that kind of stuff to me, you just don't like the guy, period. Not you don't like the guy as a football coach. You don't like the guy and wish he wasn't the coach because you don't like him.
Which honestly, though, I mean, I'd like for people to just admit that, but that's also fine in sports.
Yeah, like I mean, if you find somebody to be a huge jackass, like,
yeah,
personally,
I'm just not a fan of this person.
Yes,
yeah, that's okay.
But no one wants to admit that. Everyone wants to act like it's some highfalutin, well thought out criticism. Just say you can't stand the guy. You find him arrogant, off putting, whatever it might be. Mm. Just say it.
Donnie, do you think your gut reaction would be the day Tomlin retires to like go find the stock image of him with a Lombardi over his head and say, hey, Mike, thanks for the memories?
No, probably not in the same sense that I did for Mike Sullivan.
Why do you think that is?
I mean, I think a lot of people are going to feel, and myself included, like, yeah, this expiration date was here for Sullivan for sure, and maybe it is a year overdue, maybe even more so. But they're going to feel like with Tomlin, it is several years overdue. And if he wasn't employed by the Steelers, the team that invented their own rule, then he would have been gone long, long ago.
Pony, when did you feel like both of you guys, just give me a year. I'll give you a chance to think about it. When did each of you feel that the worm turned and give me the first justifiable year where you felt like the team, either the Penguins or the Steelers, could have parted ways with either coach? First year where you said if they fire Mike Sullivan after this year, it'll be justified. If they fire Mike Tomlin after this season, it'll be justified.
So people like to bring up the Jags game, but I think that's kind of ridiculous because they were in the AFC Championship game the year before.
Correct, and they were favored to get back there again that year.
Yeah, so that's not my favorite example of that.
And then 2 years after that, he somehow went 8-8 with one of the worst quarterback rooms in history.
Yeah, they fell apart at the end of the season, but I don't look at that as like a fireable offense.
It's not a fireable offense. Anyone says going 8-5 for the first 13 games is borderline miraculous.
So I would have put him on. I would have put him on notice after the Cleveland loss in the playoffs. And then I honestly think any season after that, you would have been justified.
Well, even though bringing him on notice comes after a year where they won the division and went, 12-4? Now, granted, I'm saying that to play devil's advocate, knowing that I was the lead cheerleader of, God, this team is the worst 12-4 team I've ever seen in my life.
Yeah, that's why I'm saying I'm not firing him after that season.
But, okay, so 2021, after the 2021 year is the first year you would have established
this. I think any season after that, you would have been justified
like
to let him go.
But after the full season.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
So, Donnie, he says 21 for Tomlin. What do you say? After the 21 season, any time after?
I would have thought maybe the first point of notice could have been 2018 when you had a lot of the same
crew. Ooh, that's a good one.
Yeah, I did gloss over that.
Off, 7-2-1? You have a, two- or three-game lead in the division. In December, you completely collapse. Not only do you not win the division, you miss the playoffs entirely.
And Pony,
his answer better.
Pony, well, I do too. I think he thought of it better, and he also didn't fall into my trap of glossing over a year where you and I, Pony, both, before Donnie was even on the show or maybe even employed at the station, you and I thought that team could actually make a run. They looked for a second like they were peaking. They had beaten Brady, et cetera. I would say probably, though, I wouldn't hold that against them. I think I'm right around 21 or 22. I think like
what was the point of asking that question, just out of curiosity?
Well, to go all the way back to the beginning, like I just wonder when you compare and contrast these two, because you're talking about sell-by dates for these guys, like when the expiration date was. I want to know how close together they are, basically. I mean, Tomlin's, we got all the way to like within the last 3 or 4 years, but like when was it for Sullivan? They lose to Kuznetsov in the Caps, and the year the Caps win it all. They get humiliated the next year, like spectacularly, by the Islanders.
And then they lost to the Canadiens.
They get humiliated by the Canadiens. How many, and then they get beaten again the next year. Like, I think they're right around the same time. Like,
yeah,
it was a much quicker plummet from the top for Sullivan. For Tomlin, it's been like a slow walk downhill.
When the Penguins lost game 82 to the worst team in the NHL that was trying to tank at home, Chicago, that should have been Sullivan's
last. I thought that
game
was game 81, and then they lost.
Oh, yeah,
Columbus.
That's right. They had one more game. I tried to erase that one from my memory.
So I guess my point is, Tomlin, it's been like a slow, gradual descent, which I actually think is worse for his standing with the public because you haven't seen an uptick yet from him. It's been like more or less continual small disappointments year after year.
The Fan and the Pirates want to visit your teams in action for our Youth Baseball and Softball Showcase presented by Sheetz. Parents and coaches, send an email to us at youthsports@937thefan.com to register your 12 and under team. And the Fan might make a stop to your field. Details at 937thefan.com, brought to you by Keystone Custom Apparel. Kyle Dubas on what went down with Mike Sullivan in 15 minutes. You know, I think the other part of this Steelers and Penguins comparison were both teams won championships with long-tenured coaches, and both coaches started to fail in the last few years and not get success like they did early in their careers. The difference right now appears to be this. Mike Sullivan was looking for not a fresh start, but a better opportunity.
Mm-hmm.
That he looked around, and my personal belief is that he's not the Penguins coach anymore because he didn't want to be. And you've got teams that are going to pay him more money and maybe cities that he's more excited about than Pittsburgh, like Boston or New York, Vegas maybe if they get in the mix, Dallas if they fire their coach, places like that.
Mm-hmm.
Where he thinks he can win a Stanley Cup sooner than he can here. Now, Boston, I put a star on because maybe that's not true with them, but he's from there. He grew up there.
His son-in-law
plays there. Yep, all that stuff. So I think Sullivan saw a chance, an exit strategy, to leave here before it got really, really bad, and there's no guarantee that it's going to get better because he wants to keep winning or get back to winning. Tomlin, I think, has the exact opposite attitude. Before he signed this last contract, I think he could have done the same thing and said, man, we don't have a quarterback here. I'm not really doing a great job looking in the mirror of developing one. Let me go to a team that has one. Let me see if the Chargers will hire me.
I think he feels a ton of value, though, in being the Steelers head coach. I think he likes that title. I think he likes working for this franchise. And the one thing he could never guarantee himself if he went elsewhere or put himself out there to be, I guess, traded potentially, or if, because like he would have had to let his contract run out.
Which, by the way, hold that thought for a second, because Dubas was asked today, and we'll hear this in a few minutes, if he could have traded Mike Sullivan for something. So we do have that answer, but continue.
I mean, I think Mike, even if he goes to like the Chargers, let's just say hypothetically, what he doesn't know about that franchise that he does about his current one is that how much patience they would have for him. So if he doesn't win a playoff game for his first 3 years with Justin Herbert, and maybe they have a losing season, anathema to Mike, but it happens.
Yep.
How much more time does he get to prove his worth? He knows here it's indefinite. There's just a, hey, you're going to be the coach, basically. You don't go 3-14 three straight years and humiliate us off the field in some way. You're going to be the coach for as long as you want to be the coach. That is pretty nice, especially since it's a job that pays roughly $17 million a year. I think there would be some creature or some real comfort even if you don't have a quarterback in that. Because you know what? You say, look in the mirror. Hey, Mike, you haven't developed a quarterback very well. If he was being introspective, he doesn't have to look in the mirror. Ownership does not require him to look in the mirror.
I know, but that would be such like a safe, settling mindset to have. You know? And like his, all of his mantras and all of his Tomlinisms like speak against like the, you know, do the safe,
yes, become prudent. Isn't he like to be uncomfortable or comfortable being uncomfortable?
Like you're just going to stay here because it's easy instead of like putting yourself out there and giving your chance to. I think it comes back to.
Wouldn't he look though at here? I know I just said like he's got ultimate job security. Isn't it harder to win here though than it is where you have a great quarterback already in place? Harder to win here than it is with the Chargers right this second.
Yeah, but there are no consequences for not winning.
I know, but I'm saying like the difficulty of the job itself. Now, granted, when he looks at this place and says this is a tougher job, he's part of the reason.
Let me put it to you this way. If you were Mike Tomlin and you knew that you were still somehow, believe it or not, universally beloved in NFL circles, and so many of these teams would actually fire their coach to hire you if they knew you were available.
Yes.
What would be more important to you? Turning the Steelers franchise around, mm-hmm. and the prospect of them saying like, wow, look at Mike, what he did there throughout his tenure. He won. Then he kind of lost it a little bit. They went all this time without a playoff game and then got it back. Or would you look at it like, I don't care that it's with two different organizations. I've only got one Super Bowl. If I want to be in the conversation for one of the greatest coaches of all time, I got to win some more of these things. So I got to get to a team that gives me a better chance to do that.
I think
that's how I would see it.
So that's a unique question, the way you frame it, because I think for any coach, it would be seen because it's so, I mean, infrequent. Has anybody, wait, who's actually done it? One with two different teams as a coach, two Super Bowl, at least one Super Bowl with two separate teams as the head coach.
So Andy Reid lost with Philly and won.
Belichick's
with
never done it, obviously. No. Parcells didn't do it.
No one's done it yet.
That's what I mean, because I had to go back and think to make sure, and I was doing like Gibbs won three without a great quarterback. That's his claim to fame.
Parcells went back with New England but lost.
Lost to the Packers. So my point is, in your question that you just gave me, then he would want to go to the other team because what he would be gunning for is unprecedented. Yeah. Then you're talking about history, but that's a different way than you were bringing that up and framing it, I think.
Like, well, I was thinking at it more of like just like counting rings.
But I mean, it would be seen as a more impressive achievement for him right this second if he quit the Steelers now,
yeah,
and went and won a Super Bowl a year from now with... Give me a team that's not the Chiefs.
Like, I just,
you know what I mean? It would be seen as better and more impressive for his resume than if he won another one here.
Your popularity, your approval rating is low in Pittsburgh. You've got, you know, people, I think, even inside your own organization that I know you do, that question the amount of power, if you're really doing things the right way. He could have had a completely fresh start with, say, the Bears, where he had a quarterback right from that area that he loves, that DMV area, Caleb Williams, number one pick, can do it all. Historic franchise. You imagine you go to Chicago, you win a Super Bowl there for the first time since 85?
If you go there, though, and ownership's like, we do think we'd love to have you, but we want you to change some things. Does he want to do?
Probably not.
So,
no.
I mean, that's that.
But he could have cashed a $100 million check if he did that.
I think for a guy like Mike Tomlin, who's made the kind of money Mike Tomlin's made, I honestly think the leeway to do it his way, largely, and to have it be his stamp, good or bad, matters
like,
more.
The only negative spin I can put on what I believe Sullivan did, which is tell the Penguins, you know, unless you basically give me this amount of money and this amount of years on a new contract, rip up my current one and give me a new one, I'm out of here because I think I can get this money from other teams. And they were unwilling to do that. That's my version, I think, of what happened. The only negative spin I can put on that is that he quit on Sid. And he's said so many times, like, what an honor it's been.
What if he called
to coach him?
What if he talked to Sid privately before he made his, you know, his play?
I hope he did.
I mean,
I think he owes it to him, personally.
I think Dubas's conversation with Sid being 5 minutes might have been predicated by the fact that Sid may have talked to the coach beforehand, before like even the general manager reached out.
Right. I don't buy for a second that there was only a 5-minute conversation and it was Dubas calling Sidney Crosby to say, hey, Sid, we're almost 2 weeks removed from the regular season, but I just want to let you know, after much deliberation, I think Mike Sullivan is no longer the right coach for the team.
Because you think that would have incited a response or prompted a response that required a lot more than a couple more minutes.
Well, I'm with TK. Like, I don't think Sid is going to, like, you know, make some kind of like hugely impassioned plea where it turns into an argument. But we know Sid's opinion on Sullivan.
He's probably going to want to hear more than just, hey, we're going in a different direction. He's going to want to hear some reasons. I would think if I were Sid, the real thing I would want, if I wasn't wired such to tell them, like, why the hell are you doing this, is, all right, who's the guy you have in mind to coach me next?
But it's easier for Dubas to continue a relationship with Sidney Crosby if it went down that way where Sullivan left on his own accord.
Yes.
Because then, like,
there's no bad guy.
Sid's not questioning Dubas.
Hey, you did your best to keep him. He just, sometimes some caged birds you must let fly.
Or maybe he's angry at Sullivan. I don't know. Probably not. But still, like.
Well, if Sid's realistic enough to know that this team's not built to win right now, and Sullivan really did want to get out of
here. Is Sidney Crosby realistic enough to know that?
Well, no. This is the thing I would say, though, about all great athletes. I heard somebody say this about Russell Wilson, which is funny because he is a shell of the person who could actually believe this straight-faced. I think everyone that's like Sid or LeBron in basketball or whoever, regardless of what age they are, they still think they are the best, and a team with them on it has a real chance to win because they are on it.
From my vantage point here, my full intention when coming into the job was that I thought it was a great opportunity to work with one of, if not the best, head coaches in the league to continue to give the team a chance to contend and transition it through back to contention. And I think what I've learned in the 2 years is that there's a reason why essentially impossible has not been done, where a coach has led a team to winning and being in contention and through a transition all the way back. There's a number of factors that play in on the relationship side, players with the staff, that make it very difficult to do so. And I think that two things can be true, that someone can be a great head coach and that they'll move on to become a great head coach on their next stop. It could also be time for change here. And I think that is that was the conclusion that I'd come to. It'd been something on my mind during the season, but I have great respect for Sully.
All right, let's get some Dubas details here. What went down with this bombshell decision to move on from Mike Sullivan? The Penguins presented it as a mutual parting of company. They didn't want to use the F word with Mike because they feel like he doesn't deserve that indignity to have it described as a firing event. But when you listen to Kyle Dubas, that's what it was. The Penguins are very unhappy with the things I'm saying, that this is like a decision that Sullivan made and the Penguins have had to react to it and spin it in their own way, like, oh no, it was us. He didn't quit. He was fired. We were the ones that we broke up with him, not the other way around.
You don't get to quit. You're fired is a classic bit,
yes,
from American Office life.
And I think that's what we have here. I think what makes what Kyle said, though, like convincing or compelling to people who just want to take company punch or the company line on things, is that the conclusion he claims he reached makes sense. Like, this guy's been here for a while. He's used to coaching a really good team. He's got his teachers, pets, players that are holdovers from those teams he won with. And he's maybe a little stubborn or obstinate about how they need to adjust or change to win. And he cites this like wide swathing historical example where coaches don't last long enough in one place to win, lose, and come back to winning.
The problem with all of that is it's all true and fans have been saying it, but like, it doesn't sound like the Penguins felt that way. Like, all of the reasons he gave for why a coach does get let go in the NHL, no matter how successful, are accurate. Like, there's plenty of historical examples, both for the Penguins and other teams. It's just that if Sullivan was the one to call his own shot here, the Penguins didn't think all the things Dubas cited had actually happened yet.
Yeah,
despite a mounting, like, there's evidence there in plain sight. They hadn't won a playoff series. He won his first 9 playoff series of his career and then hasn't won one since.
All the reporting around them all year was the Penguins still love Mike Sullivan and they don't view the team's failures this year, lack of wins, as something that he's done wrong. Everybody said that. And now all of a sudden, because he's gone, It's, well, actually, multiple times this year, I looked at him and thought maybe it's a good idea.
The inconsistency there does give me, like, not pause. It makes me think that you might be much more onto something here than maybe some people will say.
We have Dubas talking about Donnie, how this was not an ugly divorce. This was a very friendly divorce between the coach and GM and team.
Obviously, I talked to him every day throughout the year and worked together every day throughout the year. Times throughout the year where I started to think that it may just be time for a number of reasons. It's a lot to ask of somebody when they've done such a long and successful job here to be managing that and be continuing to transition the team through it. It's just very difficult. I think, you know, last week Sully and I spoke about a lot of the same stuff we've talked about the whole year, and it just became clear to me that it was probably time for a change and to move on. And I went yesterday and met with Sully and sat down with him in Boston, and I just kind of went through that with him. And there was, sometimes there's disagreement when you have those conversations, at other times there's agreement. I don't want to speak for him and how he views it, but I would say it was very amicable, and the conversations with him have continued to stay that way.
That's also strange to me that if you're going to fire a guy,
go to him.
You go to him.
Like, usually when you get called into the boss's office, they don't come to your desk and say, let's go out for lunch.
Don't think when he went out there to meet with Sullivan that was what he thought was going to necessarily happen.
Like, it would be a hell of a lot of deference you'd be showing to a guy to say, like, I'm going onto your turf to let you go. Like, it's more you'd go there because you thought he might be ready to go and you were trying to convince him to stay.
I think that it came down to money. Like, this is what I've been told I can get from another team. This is the number of years. This is the amount of money. Can you guys match that? And I think when I'm not even sure. I mean, Dubas is, I don't think he's the best, you know, hockey operations guy, but I'm not doubting he's smart and knows the business. I bet when he went to meet with Sullivan, he knew from talking to ownership how they felt about that. Like, all right, are we willing to do this with him or not? And they probably said, for as much of a Boston guy as he is, no, just the optics of giving somebody
this kind of money after another playoff thing, we just can't do it.
And
business gets in over personal feelings.